This is Franchise Today, brought to you by FRM Solutions, providers of the best-in-class software solutions for franchise relationship management. Franchise Today is your destination for weekly information, conversations, and interviews with accomplished industry leaders, all of whom share best practices for sustainable growth and sensible franchising. Here now, your host, Stan Friedman, to kick off this week's podcast.
Today is Wednesday, July 10th. 2024. I'm Stan Friedman, and this is Franchise Today. Well, here's hoping that you and yours had a safe and happy 4th. Yes, just like that, with the 4th in the rearview mirror, summer is already half over. And do you know what that means? Well, if one was counting, it would mean that there are only 51 days left before my annual pilgrimage to Buffalo, New York for the National Buffalo Wing Festival and this year's 60th anniversary celebration of the creation of our culinary delight by Teresa Bellissimo at Buffalo, New York's original Anchor Bar. And could the case be made for a more compelling venue for this hallowed event than on the field of Highmark Stadium, home of the Buffalo Bills? I mean, where better to be when swilling beer and scarfing down wings than on the 50-yard line of an NFL stadium? It just doesn't get any better than that. Okay, let me reel myself back in and return to the business of the day as I thank my partner, friend, and peer, Graham Chapman, for getting us all caught up on the big moves he's made turning the page on 15 years at 919 Marketing and moving on to the next chapter of his life. As CEO and co-founder of Zorforum, visionary partner of Blue Maven Franchise Solutions, and lest I forget, coach and consultant at FranCoach, and doing all of this while remaining in leadership on the IFA Supplier Forum board and as chief evangelist for Whiskey Wednesdays. Graham's interview got 2 full weeks at the top of the Franchise Today podcast website because I took a break last week for the holiday. But as you can well imagine, he needed that second full week up there to give you time to digest all of the great moves he's made for the good of the order and the advancement of sensible and responsible franchising. Thanks again, Graham, for all that you do. Today, I deliver part one of a 2-part special featuring liquidity events that may seem almost magical or too good to be true, but I promise you, this is the real deal, and it's cutting edge here in the USA. Imagine being able to achieve your liquidity event without giving up a stitch of equity, much less most or all of it. Imagine remaining in leadership of your brand instead of being relegated to employment by your new private equity partner and employer. Imagine being able to cash out while staying in. This plan has some stringent qualifiers, and it's not for everyone. But today, you'll learn how you may prepare for this most desirable option as you continue growing and scaling your successful franchise business. My guest today is Sean Morrison, CEO of Diversified Royalty, a publicly held Canadian company that has been facilitating these types of transactions in Canada for more than 20 years. Get ready, America, as Sean now brings this program to the USA with none other than Ron Feldman leading the business development charge. This is part one of a 2-parter. This week, Sean will lay out the program, how it works, and what it takes to qualify. Next week, we'll hear from David Earle, CFO at Stratus Building Systems, who, after being courted by dozens of private equity pitches, opted instead to have his cake and eat it too, with Diversified Royalty's approach to liquidity. Let's take a quick break here, and when I return, I'll be joined by Sean Morrison, President and CEO of Diversified Royalty, for part one of this amazing program, as he unpacks it all and explains who it works for and how. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first, a word from our sponsors.
We are all familiar with Vistage, YPO, and EO. Well, now comes Zorforum, a somewhat similar type of executive group, but this one comes with a twist. Zorforum groups are exclusively for franchisors. Imagine a peer group for sharing and networking on a platform built exclusively for franchise executives. Zorforum members are afforded unparalleled access to best practices and some of the brightest minds within the franchising world through regular meetings and a dedicated communications platform. In this post-COVID world, a franchise-specific mastermind or peer group is an endeavor worth making time for. Zor Forum groups of 6 to 10 will bring leaders together that are in similar situations, but with exclusivity in terms of their competitive sets, so that each can openly help others benefit from their respective knowledge, perspective, and experience with no fear of competitive loss. Network, learn, strategize, and remain motivated along your journey. Join a peer group, not just any peer group. Join the only one designed for emerging franchisors. Join Zor Forum. Learn more at zorforum.com. That's www.zorforum.com. Sean Morrison is President and Chief Executive Officer of Diversified Royalty, a publicly held Canadian company that developed the concept of the Top Line Royalty Fund in 1998 and has more than 20 years' experience creating liquidity events for some of Canada's leading franchisors and multi-location operators without the need to trade equity for capital. Previously, he was a partner at Capital West Partners, a Vancouver-based investment banking firm where he advised companies across Canada with respect to capital raises, IPOs, debt restructuring, asset sales, acquisitions, valuations, and fairness opinions. He's here with us today to begin a conversation about a really creative and intriguing opportunity for qualified founder-led franchisors to cash out while staying in and do so without the need to give up any equity. Sean Morrison, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Stan. Thanks for having me as part of your podcast.
It's a real pleasure. I understand we're going to unpack some things today that are a little non-traditional and talk about liquidity events that don't require private equity. Would that be a fair summation?
That's exactly right. We've developed something very unique in the franchise space with respect to liquidity options for owners of great franchise businesses.
And of course, it takes somebody the likes of Ron Feldman to bring this opportunity to my attention. And I guess you and Ron are working together on this, but we'll unpack that a little later. Before we get to that, Sean, I'm interested in learning when it was and what you were doing when franchising found you.
It's a good question. There's kind of two answers to that question. In the late 80s, when I was in university, I actually was a franchisee. I ran a student painting business, and it was quite the experience. There was lots of sales training and a lot of hard work. Little did I know that a 25% franchise fee or royalty was not market, but it's what we paid at the time. And then later on, after I got my university degree and became a chartered accountant, I became an investment banker. And I was lucky enough in Vancouver, Canada here to work with two of the best franchise businesses in Canada, being A&W and The Keg. And when I really got a chance to dive into how those businesses were run, operated, I truly kind of found out how awesome the franchisor business model is. And it was a great introduction, and lucky for me at such a young point in my career that I got involved in the franchise space.
Are there any other noteworthy brands that we would perhaps be familiar with that you've had involvement with?
Yeah, Boston Pizza. Now through the company I run, a company like Mr. Lube, mostly Canadian-based businesses. It's the idea that we've come up with here is mostly Canadian-based. We've done one franchise transaction in the States, but the States is a huge market opportunity for us. And that's why we're basically in the market to let people know that there are alternatives out there other than selling the equity in your business.
And we're going to get into that and take a deeper dive into what that looks like. How did Ron Feldman and you cross paths?
That's a good question. So post-COVID, we'd kind of gone into the U.S. market pre-COVID, and obviously the world shut down. Access to the U.S. market was tough for a Canadian company. So after COVID was kind of unwinding, I was talking to a guy named David Drucker, who was the chairman of the Canadian Franchise Association at the time. And I met him at a conference and was just connecting with them and thought, you know, we're looking for a business development guy in the United States. And there's a million guys that put their hand up and suggest that they would be a great partner for us. But he recommended a couple of guys, Ron Feldman being one of them. And when I got a chance to meet Ron, talk to Ron, get an understanding of his background and even through his business of Apple Pie Capital, the way they look at franchisors, they look at store level economics, they look at franchisees, and that's exactly how we look at these types of businesses. So when we really hit it off with Ron, and we've been working with Ron for the last year and a half, and he's helping us make introductions to a complex U.S. market, but we really appreciate his extensive experience and just network.
I'm really intrigued by this idea because I talk a lot of late with franchisors of brands that are either rolling other brands up to them or are being rolled up by other brands. 20 years ago, I guess Work Capital was one of the first notables in private equity to enter the franchising space and start buying up brands. But anymore in these times, we're seeing not just private equity buying up brands, but we're seeing brands putting umbrellas up over other brands in their same sector or vertical. So the thing that worries me about all of those roll-ups is what happens to the culture. The franchisor gets a liquidity event. Franchisees are still around, and I worry about how much of the culture gets lost when the founding franchisor exits the business. And it seems to be happening at an accelerated pace now. So it's refreshing to me to learn that somebody like you is here, that the pendulum never stops in the middle. So there's all that roll-up going on one side of the equation. But now here comes an idea that enables a founder to perhaps get the same benefit of liquidity after being the founder of a brand that led him to the success that he's had in franchising. So I'm real happy to hear about this and to learn from you what it is that you can do for certain franchisors with the founders that are still in the game. So Sean, what is it that you do exactly? How do you do it? And most importantly, who do you do it for? Who would qualify for this? So why don't we unpack it and begin with those questions as an opener?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Stan. There's a lot to unpack here, so I'll try to break it down. What is it that I do? I run a public company in Canada that provides a unique liquidity event for owners of great franchisor businesses across North America. Through my kind of 25 years of experience in the franchise space, I identified the franchise business as just a superior business model. And it lends itself to founders of great businesses getting liquidity events on very advantageous terms. The typical private equity selling 85, 90% of your business when you're the owner of these types of businesses, kind of the most prevalent source of liquidity for founders. And I've come up with a much better mousetrap. How do you do it? We work with entrepreneurs to understand their existing business, kind of the opportunity set in front of them, the store level economics. So we look at the business like private equity. And at the end of the day, does the economic engine work? Is it at scale where there's reasonable amount of cash flow, kind of 5 to 10 million of EBITDA? Is it a proven business model over a good period of time? They kind of quasi market leaders or market leaders in their space. And then we look at the business and try to come up with a huge liquidity event for the founders where they kind of effectively monetize the cash flow of the business at the size and scale they're at today without having to sell any equity in their business.
So this is pretty amazing because typically the dream of a founder is that liquidity event, and it either usually comes from private equity or just selling the business outright or recapitalizing debt, right?
That's exactly right. And about 25 years ago, I was a young investment banker and I was advising a couple of the best franchisor businesses in Canada at the time. And my head just was reeling. I just couldn't understand why the owners of these great businesses, they'd had businesses that had been open for kind of 25, 30 years. They had 400 stores open. Basically, no stores were closing. Store level economics were good, selling most of their existing franchise locations to existing franchisees. It was literally a printing press. And the outlook for the business was to go from like 400 stores to 1,000. And it wasn't really a leap to see that coming down the pipe. And I thought, why would anybody want to sell this type of business? And I called it a printing press. And I racked my brain and said, you know, there's got to be a better way than kind of selling out and crystallizing the value you've created today by selling the equity in your business. And I invented this unique structure where effectively they had the 400 stores, they were making 10 million of EBITDA. We got them a $100 million liquidity event by effectively selling a royalty on just those 400 stores at the time. And the owners didn't have to sell any of their equity. So they effectively kept the upside of that kind of 600 store growth prospects. And it was truly unique at the time. It took us a while to figure out how to structure it from a tax accounting perspective. But we came up with a transaction that is far superior for owners of franchisor businesses if they have that growth. You know, with a great business model and the growth looks pretty awesome, there's really no reason to sell equity in your business. There's a better way.
So it looks to me, just from what I'm hearing, it looks to me like this is hardly for everyone, that the keyhole is a pretty small target in terms of numbers of brands that may qualify for a program like this. How do you see that?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, if you've already been sold to a big consolidator or a platform company, you've chosen your path. The target market to do a transaction today is a business that's kind of reached kind of the 5 million of EBITDA space, have a proven business model. So they're at scale. They still got lots of upside and they're primarily owner managed businesses. goes. I mean, that's the target market, is people that don't want to sell the golden goose. They don't want to sell kind of the business they've created over a large period of time. They want a liquidity event, but they really want to keep owning the business for a long period of time. And it's also, this understanding is probably the bigger group is the young entrepreneurs that have emerging brands. For them to know that, you know, when they get to making $5 million a year, they don't have to sell to get the big check from private equity. They can do a royalty transaction where they get effectively the same liquidity event, but they keep 100% control of their business. And they quite frankly reap the massive benefits of going from, let's say, 100 locations to 400. Your EBITDA doesn't go up by 4. It probably goes up by 8 times because the operating leverage in a great franchise business is that good. So I found we got a lot of traction with young entrepreneurs that are building these businesses early, and they get really excited because they assume that the only way to kind of get a liquidity event is almost kind of sell and retire and become an employee. And I let them know, no, we need you to know that when you get to size and scale, you know, a great franchisor business has lots of people coming to them. You know, every private equity fund wants to buy the equity box and own 80, 90% of a good franchise business. Who wouldn't? And we just need the owners of those types of businesses to know when they get to that size and scale that there are options. A royalty transaction is definitely one that they should consider. It's not a fit for everybody, but I think it's going to be a fit for a lot of people with great franchisor businesses that are at scale but want to keep the upside.
Well, it looks to me like what we're doing right here is going to help put the word out there, because it sounds more like you're going to create an incubator here and get some people, beginning with the end in mind, to look for this shiny thing instead of chasing the next one that's chasing them now.
Glad you brought that up. I was in Nashville a year and a half ago at an emerging brands conference, and this very compelling speaker who had sold out the private equity was up on the stage, and he had this really slick PowerPoint presentation, and he goes, let's start with the end in mind. And literally the end in mind in his brain was sell the private equity. And then we kind of reverse engineered, well, here's how you have to build your business so that you can get this great liquidity event. And I felt like, you know, running up on stage, grabbing the microphone and saying, yeah, if you want to sell out, this is where you end up. There are other alternatives that are far superior for owners of great businesses, but obviously they paid for that space and airtime, and they had a sales pitch to pitch, and they were doing a good job of it. But I really felt frustrated thinking that if that's what people think the end in mind is, it just doesn't make sense. There are way better alternatives out there, strictly because if you can create a great franchise business with good store level economics and growth potential, that is the ultimate financial value creation structure. And those are great businesses. Do not sell your equity.
Tell you what, Sean, let's take a quick break right here. And when we come back, let's talk more about who it is that should be giving this a look, even if they're not ready today. Let's talk about what boxes do they need to check in preparation. We're talking today with Sean Morrison, president and CEO of Diversified Royalty, who's got a pretty unique and creative way to create liquidity without giving up the ghost. I'm Stan Friedman. This is Franchise Today. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Franchise Today is brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering the only CRM tool built exclusively for franchising that lets you have it your way. Whether you're a single brand needing professional tools across departments or a portfolio of brands needing franchise-specific CRM across the enterprise, either way, FRM satisfies the needs of many with the power of one. That's right, one single instance of FRM is all it takes across departments or across brands. So if you've had it with inflexible, one-size-fits-all CRM, end your frustration today. FRM offers robust dashboarding, tailored reporting, and with open APIs, FRM pushes, pulls, and integrates with other databases, providing you with a single source of truth. Don't just take my word for it. Visit them at frmsolutions.com and order up a demo today. And we're back with Sean Morrison, president and CEO of Diversified Royalty, talking about liquidity events that don't require a sale of your business, private equity infusion, or recapitalizing debt. So, Sean, simple question before we talk more about who it is that should be considering this. Why are you the only one in the country that I'm aware of that's doing this now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's a mindset. I mean, first of all, I'm based in Vancouver, Canada. Like I said, 25 years ago, I was working with a couple of the best franchisor businesses and quite frankly, just invented something that was almost a Canadian solution. It was tax structured. It created a capital gain for the owners of these businesses and they sold none of their equity. We've been doing this in Canada for the last 25 years. We got about a dozen companies or more up here that have entered into these royalty transactions. We've got references coming all over the place of these owners that did a transaction, realized a very large liquidity event equivalent to a private equity sale without selling their equity in the businesses that have grown, and many of them have. The first three guys, A&W, The Keg, and Boston Pizza, are three of the big successful brands in Canada that entered into a royalty transaction in 2002, and they all kind of had about $10 million worth of EBITDA. They all got a $100 million liquidity event, and they've all reaped kind of $500 to $700 million of incremental value since that first liquidity event. And obviously, if they'd sold the equity, that would not have happened. So in Canada, it is quite a well-known strategy. And that's why I started the public company in Canada. I've been going down to the States and, you know, going to the IFA conventions, the Restaurant Finance and Development Conference, setting up a booth, working with Ron Feldman, and just getting our name out. But it's funny, in the early days, let's say just before COVID, I was down at the Restaurant Finance and Development Conference. And, you know, I was working my booth and people are interested when they come up, but they're very kind of confused. I walked around to some of the investment bankers. They had booths set up. And I was a young investment banker before I started this company. And I come up to them and say, hey, listen, would you like to hear a presentation about what I do and how I think I can get a liquidity event that would be a huge advantage to your clients and as investment bankers help you win new business? I actually told them I actually made this exact sales pitch I was going to give them to the founder of Lululemon, who at the time in the early 2000s had a bunch of franchise locations and ended up becoming the investment banker for Lululemon Athletica, one of the most successful companies in the world. And I thought that would pique their interest in wanting to know how I use this sales pitch to win such a great piece of investment banking business. So I spent 10 minutes walking them through how it works and the types of businesses it works for. And at the end of the presentation, and these guys should have been quick studies, I go, what do you think about that? And they looked at me with a kind of almost a blank stare on their face. And they said, that's impossible. It was insane because I was like, well, it's not impossible. It's not like an idea I think I'm going to start doing for the next 10 years. It's something we've been doing in Canada for over 20 years. And they literally just couldn't understand how. And one of our initial sayings that when I pitched one of the first clients 20 years ago, he asked me to kind of describe how the transaction worked quickly. And he was a friend of mine. And I said, it's like having your cake and eating it too. And it's like the investment bankers just thought, that's not possible. To get that size of a liquidity event, you have to sell the golden goose. You have to sell your equity. And I was trying to explain to them that if you have a great business model, like a great franchisor, not all franchisors are great. Not all of them have great store level economics and the growth profile. But the ones that do are unique businesses with unique business models, and they can get a liquidity event like this because they're superior businesses. They shouldn't sell the golden goose to private equity. They shouldn't give up control of their businesses. But it was really a mindset. So I was lucky enough at the San Diego IFA convention a couple of years ago to bump into Stratus, which was a LA-based business. And we ended up getting traction and getting our first US transaction done. But it's very early days in the US market, very similar to when I started Diversified in Canada 10 years ago. I talked to hundreds of people, and it does take time for people to understand who you are, what you do, and really be in a position where they're at a stage where they're looking for a liquidity event and they invite us to the party. And that's really the challenge in the States. And that's why we're talking to you. And like I said, with Ron Feldman, getting the word out, because at the end of the day, when people are looking for a liquidity event, they're probably going to hire an investment banker. They're going to run a process, and they should. And if we get invited to the process, we will get a chance to pitch a compelling and unique opportunity that entrepreneurs will get a chance to consider. And that's how we're going to build our business in the US market.
So obviously, the next question I've got is probably already asked and answered because you've already got Stratus on board. But you said the Canadian financial markets were very conducive to this. And I heard 10x. What is private equity like today for multiples of EBITDA?
Yeah, that's a great question. But are the multiple we pay versus the multiple they pay, they're buying the equity box. So they should be able to pay a lot more. They pay a little bit more. And really, depending on your growth profile, you might get 10x your existing royalty stream. But if you're going to double your business, you're probably going to quadruple your EBITDA. That growth in EBITDA sticks with you as the owner of the business. Whereas if you sell to private equity, they look like they're paying big multiples, but they own 100% of the upside of the business. And there's so much operating leverage in these businesses that they make it sound like a big multiple. But when they grab all that upside,
it shrinks. So what about the tax structure in the U.S.? How does that look here? I mean, obviously, Stratus has already done this. And in fact, David Earle, CFO at Stratus, is going to be in the same chair next week talking to me, talking about this from the other point of view.
And quite frankly, his point of view is the most important point of view because he's the CFO of a great franchisor business that had been approached by dozens of private equity firms. They were looking at private equity options. And, you know, they just had that feeling in their gut that why would we sell when there's so much upside and so much operating leverage in this great business? And that's when they bumped into us. And so his perspective will be truly, I think, inspiring and more credible than kind of my position, who's trying to maybe sell it to people. But at the end of the day, it is compelling. It's real. It's been done. It ends up crystallizing a capital gain for the owners of the business in the U.S. market, just like it does in Canada. The ongoing royalty payments that the business pays to Diversified are tax deductible as they are in Canada. So it is a similar transaction from a tax perspective for the owners, U.S.-based franchisors, as selling equity. They get a capital gains treatment, but like I said, they're not actually selling equity. They're not giving away all that operating leverage and upside.
So are there going to be others that jump into this space when they learn that this is a way to create liquidity in franchising other than capital produced by private equity? Or are we going to see several other knocks at the door coming from people that are going to latch on to what you're doing and try to emulate it?
Yeah, as I say, imitation is the ultimate form of flattery. If you've got a mousetrap that makes sense, just like private equity, when Roark Capital got into making investments in buying equity in great franchisor businesses based in the early 2000s, there's been lots of private equity funds jumping on that same program and being second movers and third movers and 100th movers. Ultimately, we don't have any edge in terms of proprietary technology. Eventually, somebody's going to see that investors in great franchisor businesses don't need to make 10 times their money. Doesn't make sense. And we think the returns for investing in this space, the 10x, 20x returns should stay with the owners and founders of great businesses. And financiers like myself deserve fair returns relative to the risk reward of what they're investing in. And quite frankly, it feels like the private equity guys have been stealing the equity of owners because it's been the only option in the U.S. market. We're looking at people that want to continue to run their business, grow their business, operate their business, and think there's substantial upside. And if there is, they'll reap the rewards of not selling equity and partnering with somebody like us who doesn't need private equity like returns. And therefore, we don't have to steal their equity.
There are great private equity companies, not one size fits all. Like Roark is a buy and hold company. And then you've got others that are still great companies, but they're on a five-year trajectory for flipping what they bought and maybe buying it back again later, like Riverside does.
Right.
But I'm wondering if the greatest byproduct of what this model does, which is it takes away the fear that I have that cultures get ripped out of businesses when founders exit or when founders' roles diminish and they're no longer the boss. Things change. And when culture changes, it's like the secret sauce that you don't see in a franchise business, but it's every bit as important to me anyway. I believe it's every bit as important as the secret sauce that is the business. The culture just has to be monitored and protected. And I worry when I see all the roll-ups and flips, what happens to those brands' cultures? And I don't have to worry about those as much if more people learn about and get a chance to jump into what it is you guys are doing at Diversified Royalty.
Yeah, Stan, I think you've nailed it there. I mean, as you guys all know, the franchise business is a relationship business. Yeah, I know founders of these great businesses, the first kind of 20 or 30 franchisees that have been kind of in it with them from day one, they're literally like family. Go to these annual conventions with the franchisees and the franchisors, and the relationships are real. Like it's family, second generation, third generation. It's pretty impressive. And the owners of these great businesses, you know, they're in a bit of a pickle, right? Like they want a liquidity event. They've earned a liquidity event. They want to kind of take some money off the table and try some other things. So they're more than entitled to that. But, you know, historically, when you sell 80, 90% of your equity, you're usually around for a couple of years as a transition, but everybody knows you've sold out and you're disappearing. Where when we've done our transactions, the owners of these great businesses, the world can see they got a liquidity event, but they look their franchisees in the eye and they say, I own 100% of this business. I control how this business will operate going forward. And I didn't want to sell it. I believe in this business. And that's important because the franchisees will see that that is the kind of maybe, as you say, part of the secret sauce. And what our transaction creates is an opportunity for a franchisor owner to create the liquidity event, but not impact that relationship with their franchisees at all. And I think that's very powerful. And I think the owners of these businesses, they don't want to sell and run. They might want to sell and kind of step back from the business a bit, but they should still be an owner in this business. I mean, when you have these liquidity events, you got to deploy and invest the capital. None of these guys are great investors. They're just great operators and they shouldn't sell their business. They should keep the equity upside and maintain those relationships because that's where value is truly created, is existing franchisees either buying new locations or giving great references. And when the founder is stuck around and is still their partner, you're going to get better references than if it's, like you say, a revolving door of ownership at the top.
Before I ask for contact info, what have I not asked you today that you wished I would have, if anything?
Yeah, no, I think you've nailed it. I mean, as I mentioned, Stan, between the breaks, you've done this for a long time. You've done your research on us. It's our introduction and story is very simple. It's unique. And we just love to be part of your platform and educating the U.S. franchise community about an option that they should know exists. And when the time is right, consider it versus all the other alternatives out there and find out what's best for them.
How about some contact info, Sean?
Yeah, my name's Sean Morrison, SEANMORRISON, CEO of Diversified Royalty Corp. You can contact us and it's Sean@diversifiedroyaltycorp.com or reaching out to Stan or Ron Feldman. Find a way to get a hold of us and we're happy to tell our story and appreciate your time introducing us to the U.S. franchise community, Stan.
Very compelling story. Can't wait to watch this roll out. I know full well that if Ron Feldman's involved, it's going places and the places it goes will be good. So Sean, appreciate you joining us today and looking forward to my conversation with David Earle at Stratus Building Solutions next week to hear the other side of the coin. You've been listening to Sean Morrison, President and CEO of Diversified Royalty, right here on Franchise Today. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Stan.
Well, that's a wrap for this week. Next week in part two, we'll hear from David Earle, CFO at Stratus Business Solutions, providers of green janitorial services in the USA, who, after being aggressively recruited by any number of private equity firms, instead successfully entered into a diversified royalty transaction. And he'll be here to tell us what it looked like then and how it feels now. Until then, I'm Stan Friedman, wishing you the best, the very best of all things franchising, and Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Today is a production of FRM Solutions, providing best-in-class CRM tools to empower relationships with prospective and existing franchisees. Find them online at FRMSolutions.com. Join Stan every Wednesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Franchise Today.